Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, two lifelong friends who took control of their lives by having gastric sleeve surgery 5 years apart. This podcast is for you, our listeners, whether you're pre-op, post-op, maintaining, being a support person, or maybe none of these, but this is your podcast. Now it's time for the show. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Our Sleeve Life podcast.
That's right.
And we have a very special guest in our studio today. It is Chloe.
Welcome her.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
We are going to interview Chloe because she had surgery during
COVID. Yeah. And that's, I want to know all of the things.
Yes.
Because that has to be so crazy to deal with
all
and interesting.
Things, yes. So tell us what your stats are and what kind of surgery you had and when.
Yeah.
So I guess my age, I'm almost 31.
Okay.
And my pre-op weight was 347.
Okay.
And now I'm at 267.
Holy crap! That's amazing!
Yeah, girl!
That was
fucking awesome.
Actually, no, I take that back. I'm sorry. My check-in, like, day of surgery weight was 330. My highest weight
was 347.
Was 347.
Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing. How does it feel?
It feels really good.
Yeah.
I feel lighter, easier to move
a
little bit. Still struggle with, I see fat in the mirror, and that's just another, you know, thing to talk about. But
what was the date that you had it on?
I had it done June 3rd.
Oh, so it's like four months. Dab in the middle of everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Holy crap.
Not that long ago. So like
3 or 4 months.
4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. 4 months. So how much have you lost in 4 months?
I'm going to make her do the math.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I just had
You posted it today, right?
Well, that was all time weight.
Oh, time weight.
Yeah.
Which still, I think, counts because you still lost it.
Right.
I'm just curious.
So, since surgery, it was 63 pounds.
That Damn. Is amazing.
Yes. 4 months, guys. Like,
yeah, 4 months.
So, just know it will happen.
It will happen. And then, what was your why? Tell us why you had surgery.
Oh, man. I feel like the biggest why was because I want to have babies someday.
And, that's a good reason.
And I just wanted to be healthy for them and for myself during pregnancy and to have like a labor and delivery that I've always dreamed of.
Yes.
And I stayed healthy for a while. And then just kind of high blood pressure, you know, snuck up on me. And,
okay.
Some other things, and I was just tired of being miserable and eating all the time and obsessing about food. And
oh, I get it.
I just needed a drastic change.
Yeah,
to stop
definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, and this is pretty much as drastic as you can get.
Yep.
But it's also, it has so many benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So many benefits.
Yeah. Well, did you have to take any blood pressure medicine?
I did, yes.
You did? So are you having it taken now? Have you been able to, like, get rid of it yet?
Nope. It was almost right after surgery. I monitored it at home. I saw my doctor, and it was pretty instantaneously. Didn't have to take it
anymore.
So I'm, like, right at a perfect, like, 120 over, like, you know, 70-something or
That's
80.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how did you... How did you start your weight loss journey? So did you go to your primary care physician? Did you just find an office? What?
I started off basically doing the insurance investigation first.
Oh, good. Smart.
Because several years back, I looked into it.
Okay.
But it wasn't covered at the time.
Mm.
And thankfully, my kick-ass husband has a great insurance. And we took advantage of that, and I was approved and cleared, and I saw a list of people who were approved for the company, and I saw Dr. Patterson's name and went with her right away, and just...
She's so amazing.
She kind of got the ball rolling that way.
Okay.
How long did the application take, like, for it to be processed? Because for me, it was like 2 months for it to be...
It was less than that.
Okay.
It was maybe about a month.
About a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was always on it, like calling the doctor's office, like, is it approved? Or, you know...
Oh, I remember.
I was on it because I was so anxious.
I remember being in that, and you're like,
okay, they tell you it could be weeks before you hear anything. And so you're like sitting there and you're like, I just want to call them and see if it's approved.
But you don't want to be that annoying person.
You don't want to be that annoying person that's like, hey, is it approved? No? Okay, they'll call. You'll call me? Okay. And then the next day, you're doing it all over again.
Yep.
Because you just want to know. You want to know if your life can start.
It's true. It's
essentially. Because you're just waiting. Did you do any therapy, nutritionist appointments, anything like that?
Just what was required for through the ALS program and insurance so I met with a counselor once, and met with a dietitian a couple times, but on my own personally, not necessarily. I've had counseling in the past, not necessarily food related, but okay. I think it should have been because now it's becoming more apparent that it's a real mental aspect.
Yep.
It's crazy when you're in it. Like, you're like, eh, I don't need help. I'm good. And then once you're, like, taken out of that situation, you're like, oh, no, that was bad. Like, I needed help.
Well, on our live on Thursday, I said that. I was like, I didn't realize how much I was using food and how much I wasn't supported going through this process until, like, after. Like,
until
literally 5 years later. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I know exactly what you're thinking. You're like, wait a minute. I was freaking eating my feelings. What the hell?
Yep,
I had
exactly.
no idea, but it's so obvious. Like, exactly. Looking back at it.
It's definitely an addiction. Like,
I think it's funny when people say that it's not an addiction. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Because they're like, I know I thought about food all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And like when you would start thinking about dinner and like what you could have, like, my mouth would start salivating and like there's all those things and you're like, no, that's a total addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like you're
it's like an itch that's always there. And you can't wait to like to satisfy the beast almost.
That's exactly what it is because that's, I mean, people talk about that with drugs, alcohol, that it's a beast.
Yep.
And, or you have a monkey on your back. Like that's essentially what it was.
And I have been crazy always asking, what do you do for dinner? What do you do for lunch? Like it was always on my mind.
Yeah.
And part of it was like a planning thing, but also like, what am I looking forward to? What do I want? Like, what am I craving? And, you know, just that whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. No, I totally want, I get it. Like, I remember just thinking like, okay, what do I have in my cupboard? What could I have my husband go get me?
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, because I was bedridden for 3 years before I had surgery.
Oh.
So my husband went and bought all my food. And I would throw temper tantrums, which now I'm like, oh, well, that was adult of you. That was a good thing. But he would bring me whatever I wanted because he is a very sweet man. Mm-hmm. And so he would get me whatever I was craving. And now I look back and I'm like, huh, yeah, that wasn't good behavior.
No.
Yeah. I was just saying, if you guys have ever watched the, like, My 600-Pound Life series, that kind of stuff, at the time, you don't really realize it's, you know, enabling your behavior or your addiction or kind of things. You're just like trying to help and be thoughtful and sweet, but it's also kind of like, I wish somebody would have said like,
no, at the same time. Yeah. Somebody to tell you no. And like, even if I had thrown a fit, like him just being like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I think there needs to be more intervention for food addiction because you don't know until you're too big and you have all these health problems and you're like, fuck, what did I do to myself?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So. Like you beat yourself up over it. And I have a very beginner blog up. I don't know if you guys have even touched it or know if it exists.
But we're going to.
Yes, yep,
we're going to check it out.
It's pretty, I don't want to say dark at times, but pretty deep.
And honest.
Deep and honest, just raw. Like
that's a good word, so, raw.
Yeah.
I like that.
For sure.
We try to be as honest and open as possible with this. So that is, I love that. I love that. Because a lot of, it's hard when you're on social media because a lot of it is glamour.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all, you know, there's filters and there's different apps that you can make yourself look smaller or airbrushed
contour.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's so much that is just glamorized.
Mm-hmm.
And real life is not that glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no.
There's no way that it could be that glamorous. I mean, unless you're uber famous.
Right.
But, and it's hard. It's hard as a plus size woman to see that and then be like, well, I'm never going to look like that, or I'm never going to be like that. Because you being so honest, like, it gives people a real look inside of what a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and then they can relate and be like,
glamorized.
Yeah, and I feel like it was, I was very, very private about everything in my life up until literally, like, 2 months ago when I started the blog.
Awesome.
Just because I know when I was struggling with everything, there was nothing really out there to, like, connect me to someone else who was struggling or had the same thoughts or feelings or habits as I did. And just kind of was just kind of like, screw it. I'm just going to be open and raw. And if it helps someone in their life, great. And if not, it'll help me heal and kind of
get my thoughts out there. Yeah.
And everything out.
Well, I love it. I bet someone's going to read this and be like, oh my God, I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And it will be fine. Cause that's kind of what I'm finding out through this process too. So
yeah.
Like what kind of triggers do you have? Like what was your problem?
If you want to talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Let us know some of the things.
Yeah. I think I was a board eater, snacker, grazer. Okay. And I was also a closet eater, literally. I would hide food in my closet when I was living at home.
Yep,
and
I've done it.
At night, you know, watch TV, eat snacks, sneak it in. I never felt fulfilled, like physically, like never felt full. And I just kept eating and eating and eating.
Yeah.
And it gets out of control. And I think it's because I would feel so bad about myself. It was a crutch to feel good, even though you know the very thing you're doing is killing you.
Oh, 100%.
You know.
Yes.
But it's just physically hard to stop until you have, for me, a barrier to physically stop eating and kind of reanalyze my whole relationship with food.
Yeah, realizing there is a relationship there.
You have to realize that there is a reason for your eating, and there is a reason to stop that. That habit. And I know when I went to therapy, I don't know if you had kind of breakthroughs or anything when you were when you met with the therapist through OWLS, but which is Oregon Weight Loss Surgery Center.
Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. But I know I had a breakthrough of thinking, because I always said, oh, it's my meds that made me gain weight. That was my justification for my weight.
You tell me that too.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, it's all my meds, which my meds have a very small portion of that weight gain. But when I actually realized, like, no, I'm the one doing this to myself, it kind of twisted my brain to be like, oh, shit. Yeah, I do this to myself. Like, this is bad because the sugar and the carbs are horrible for autoimmune diseases. So I was literally killing myself with it. So it's interesting. I don't know if you had any breakthroughs or anything like that when you were going through therapy.
I
know you said it was once.
Yeah, it was once. I kind of just kind of self-analyzed myself, really.
Okay.
But as far as, you know, some people have, you know, trauma in their lives that play a huge part in their relationship with food, and I never had any of that. I honestly still trying to figure out what happened. I think it was when I was able to go to college, I had the freedom to eat what I wanted, when I wanted, whatever. And that just happened for years and years. I never, you know, dialed it back. It was like, whoa, like, okay, you had a college bender, whatever.
You just never had that.
And just never stopped because it was like, I love food so much. Like, why would I stop?
Exactly.
Well, until, and you need to eat. So you're just like, why?
Exactly. It's like, is it essential? It's essential to eat, but it's making the better choices about it. And
Well, we've talked about it before. Like, food is everywhere. It is in your face everywhere. Like,
constant.
Like, I feel like when you're a drug addict and, for example, like, you can take yourself out of that situation by getting sober, and you remove yourself from, you know, the friends or whatever.
You're supposed to remove 100%. Yes, yeah.
Bringing that into your lives. But with food addicts, there's nothing to, like, you can't remove it because it's on TV. It's on the radio. It's somebody is eating in front of you. Like,
you
have to eat.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we're totally with you on that. Because even when I went to college, that's kind of where I started realizing, like, like, no one's making restrictions on you. Mm-hmm. No one's telling you, hey, you know, that's a right. big portion. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no one helping, being like, oh, this is not what I'm not supposed to be eating, because mm-hmm. everyone around us is still eating it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a different metabolism. Their body makeup is completely different. I think that's a problem, too, is that we all think we're the same.
Mm-hmm. And we're not.
And we're not, mm-hmm. when especially on how we process food, because mm-hmm. I know when I eat any type of carb, it's weird. My body just wants to retain it. Mm-hmm. But anything else, I'm fine with. And it's like, what the hell? Like, my husband, you met my husband, and he can do that just fine and not have a problem. So it's really frustrating. Except now that he's getting older, he's gained a few pounds, and now he's like, he's feeling the pain, because, like, he's never not, well, he's never had to deal with the whole, like, oh, like, clothes don't fit, mm-hmm. and clothes is a big one for us, mm-hmm. and he's just like, mm-hmm. I can't button my pants, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I know how that feels,
yeah,
because instantly my brain went right back to how I felt when I had to lay on the bed, mm-hmm. suck it in,
squeeze, and squeeze it tight, together, yep.
and then you plop up, and you're like, oh, what? This hurts.
Yeah. Trying to get into the Spanx for that mm-hmm. dress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember that. I would just wear leggings. That was my go-to, is I wouldn't even go near jeans.
Oh, God. I haven't worn jeans in years.
Really?
Like, these black pants. I have, like, 2 dozen pairs of these.
Oh,
it's all I wear.
Yeah.
Black leggings.
I go back and forth.
I like leggings. This is actually the first time I've worn leggings. Like, in a while. Like, I'll wear, like, these are, like, leggings. Like, oh, okay. I'll wear athletic pants, but, like...
I was like, I just saw you in some. What are you talking about?
No. But I wear jeans.
Yeah.
Probably 24/7, just 95% of the time.
Well, now when you can fit into them, you're like, yes. It's the deal, because you're more it's comfortable.
Yes.
So, going back to your surgery, so let's get a little bit...
Sorry. Melanie likes to do it in chronological order.
I do. You're telling her story.
OCD. It'll help my brain.
That's right.
Yes.
I keep us on track, my friend.
She is OCD.
It's true. And Marcus likes it. He just, yep.
And I'm a functioning ADHD, so that's why I bounce all over the place.
I'm on board with all of this.
So back to your surgery, though. So because it was during COVID time, we were able to have our husbands there. How did that work for you?
So, yes, COVID. I was literally dropped off at the reception office, said goodbye to my dad. My husband had to work, and my parents came and dropped me off. Only one person allowed in, and it was my dad. And said goodbye, all that. I went back into pre-op and waited. So no visitors or anything.
Wow.
Morning after I was there, I woke up alone with the nurse. Mm. Chloe, wake up.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
I was prepared for that.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty independent person, almost to the point where it drives my husband crazy.
I feel like we're soulmates.
It would have been nice to, you know, have somebody there. But you're just so drugged up and sore. It's kind of like you just sleep it off. But I got to say, the kick you out by 7 a.m., that was shit. That was hard.
So you stayed the night.
Yes.
And then you got kicked out at 7 a.m.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Well, like, I did not.
Like, on the dot.
Oh, that was not my experience with them. I was there till like noon.
I think it maybe had to do something with COVID. I'm not quite sure.
Probably. That makes sense.
But yeah, so my parents had to drive up from Silverton, like about an hour drive.
Okay.
And pick me up the next morning.
So were all your appointments the same way? Just you had to be by yourself, had to wear a mask? What did they look like?
So about halfway through my 6-month, program.
Oh, so you had a 6-month program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, for insurance. I had to do 6 months of weight management stuff.
Okay.
And so about halfway through, we had to switch to telehealth meetings with Dr. Patterson. So we did phone visits, basically.
Which are kind of nice.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to, see her in person and whatnot. But, and all my post-ops have been telehealth as well.
How does that work? Because they would make me draw blood every time I went.
So I had my first blood draw a couple weeks ago. I just went to my local hospital.
Okay.
Because it's a legacy as well. So I had one post-op blood draw, and that's about it.
That's about it right now. Because you're only 4 months out, so that makes sense. Because I did a 1 month and a 3 month.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to do a 1 month and three, or just
no, it was just three? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, because I went in a week post-op.
Oh, wow.
A month post-op. 3 months post-op, 6, 9, and then a year.
Okay.
Okay.
So, because they really want to make sure that you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, which I appreciated. Like, yeah, she was like, okay, I'll see you in a week. And I was like, oh, because I was expecting, because Melanie had kind of prepared me for it.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, no, you'll just go in like 1 month post-op. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, I'll see you in a week. And I'm like, that's fine. I like you.
Just, like, drive your ass in there. Like, I'm so, like, oh.
Right? Because in a week, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't bad. Yeah. And my husband drove me. Okay. And obviously, it was before COVID and quarantine and all that. And my office is at McMinnville.
Okay.
So it's, you know, 45 minutes there for it. But it's kind of a nice drive. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't horrible. It's
more country drive.
Yeah. It's country. Yeah. And yeah, we've gone out there a few times. Yeah. So
it's pretty.
Yeah. I like all of the colors and the greenery. And it's a good drive. It's a good
drive. So you're liking the Tela stuff. And it sounds like they have to make you go out to get your blood drawn. Then Dr. Patterson reads it and makes sure you're good.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because I was still groggy after kind of a week. How were you?
Yeah, I just felt really tired.
Yeah.
I slept a lot. I think it was a huge shock to my system. And looking back, I definitely did not do the protein goals as much as you feel like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was great. She was like my little nurse. She's
Aww.
Like, give me little 2 ounce cups. Like, okay, now it's time to drink. And,
it was
great to have her. I'm very thankful for my family.
Did you stay with her? Did she come and visit?
I did. My husband wasn't able to take that. Those first 2 weeks are pretty intense off. So it was my parents for about a week, and then he got a week off so I could go back home.
Oh, good.
And, you know, like, recover there. And
awesome.
Stuff,
so. And it's always nice to be in your own space. And I know the first 2 weeks, yeah, they're very hard with water, protein. And you always think that you're getting so much protein. And then when you add it all up, you're like, oh, yeah, that wasn't even close to my goal.
No, not at all.
I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I have plenty of protein in me. And then I was like, you have 30 grams. Okay. That's like not quite what
half
I
half of what the doctor wants.
Yeah. What was your protein goal and water goal that they gave you? Do you remember?
Ooh, I'm going to say it was my highest weight. It was like over 100 grams of protein.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. She does a third, right, of your weight?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was right. Okay. You were.
Mine was high. Mine was like, yeah, like 90, like 80, 90.
Yeah. And right now, by weight, like at least 60. She wants at least 60. Probably ideally like 80.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least 60.
That was my goal, 80. So I think it was like 84 grams or something like that. And then I had to get at least 64 ounces of water.
Yeah.
And it was 80 grams of protein.
Oh, yeah, water. Before surgery, I would drink like 2 of those 40 ounces.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like no problem.
It was fine. And now it took me a long, long time to get back up to like having adequate water.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to drink it and not like feel gross.
Well, and
or hurt.
Yeah, those bubbles that get stuck right here.
I was going to ask, like, because you're only 4 months, and how much are you able to get in a day then?
I'm trying to do like 40, which still isn't like great, but I feel like trying to do at least 40 ounces.
Right? Because it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you like
I feel
hot
kind of nauseous
tea?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. If you drink too fast, you get the nauseousness from the water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you drink hot tea?
I do like tea. It's just, I just feel more satisfied, hydrated with just plain water.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know that I feel it's easier to drink warm liquids for me. So like I can kill this and nothing flat. Because I wake up super early. Like
same.
Between 2 to 4 a.m. I'm usually awake.
That's my husband. I wake up like at 5:30.
Okay.
I want to get back to 5:30. Has not gone like COVID. Before COVID, I used to get up at like 5:36. Yeah. Not a problem.
But you had to go into the office.
But now it's like, I can't get up. What the hell? Sorry to interrupt your story. But
it's okay.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I get up really early. And so if I get up at like 3 a.m., I usually have gotten about 40 ounces of water by like 6 or 7.
Oh my God.
Because I just drink hot liquid. And every hour I put another 18 in my cup. So I time myself. And if I'm like, oh, it's been an hour and I've only drank half, then I sit there and I focus solely on drinking that.
Okay.
That's what I do at work. Like when I'm up work for the tea. Mm-hmm. I noticed I don't change the bag. So only the first two cups are tea and the rest is just hot water.
Hot water.
Yeah. And it does go down quicker. She taught me that like 6 months ago, because I don't know if you're feeling cold yet. Do you feel the cold? Because it's going to come and you're going to be angry. At least I was. I'm still angry.
I've heard about this. I was like, it kind of goes back to my why. I was inspired by a girl I went to high school with. She had gastric bypass a little over a year ago, and just following her, and it's a whole thing. And she's like, I was always hot before, and I suffer with that, like just constantly hot and sweaty.
Yep.
And then she's like, now I'm like cold all the time. Mm-hmm. But I still run warm, but I definitely am like, oh, it's kind of chilly. Yeah.
Which you just kind of notice the weather change a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, you're more aware. Your body's like, we're getting cold. Mm-hmm. You need to figure something out here.
Yes. I definitely have sweaters galore now, whereas before I never bought coats and sweaters because
I could never fit into it. Well, that was my problem.
There was that. And then there was also, like, I was always too hot. Mm-hmm. So there was like, what's the point of buying this sweater that I'm not going to be able to wear? And now I'm like, give me all the sweaters. Well,
our old friend from high school would only wear sweaters, and I kind of jumped that bandwagon too. I was big, but because you can get sweaters up to like 3x, 4x. I'm like, we can make this work. Like, I'll just wear just a light, you know, Old Navy shirt underneath and call it good.
Yep.
And it would work for a long time, but now I'm like, I have to layer up. It's insane. So I would suggest now just starting to like do like the layering, because I'll do like leggings and then like a black undershirt, and then that's underneath everything else I put on top of it.
So she'll put like her jeans over her leggings.
Oh my gosh, she layers.
It totally helps, by the way. I didn't do that until a girl from work was like, she's tiny and she was shivering at her desk. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, I don't know, I already have leggings underneath my jeans, and I have another, like, she actually does long sleeve underneath her shirts, and she had like two shirts and a sweater on, and she's like, I don't know what else to do. I'm like, you have leggings. The only thing I got from that was like, you have leggings under your,
you're like, fuck you, I don't care how you feel, but you have leggings underneath your jeans?
I was like, you could do that? I didn't know that was allowed. Like, we could do this? Okay. So I literally like went to Old Navy that like day after work and grabbed some and then put on, like, oh my God, she's a genius.
Good to know for when I'm smaller.
When you start getting that cold, you will thank Melanie for that.
I bring a car blanket. Have a bed cardigan. That always helps. It's FYI.
A bed cardigan.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
My bedroom always stays so hot, so I never have to worry about that, because, and there's sometimes where I'm like, I turn the air on.
I have to go to bed cold.
Oh yeah.
I don't do warm beds.
Yeah, I don't
like blankets. Like, I don't sleep with the blankets on me. Like, my husband thinks I'm weird. I really don't. I have like a blanket on my body and I end up kicking it off.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's like half on you. Like, for me, it's just half. Like, it was just covering like the bottom half, and like my arms are out and one leg. So goofy.
I like the fan on, my air conditioner going, and then I snuggle under my blanket. Like, I liked the outside of my bed to be cold.
Yeah.
Like, frozen over, but then my little comfort cocoon to be
cold. I won't get out of bed if it's too cold.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get angry. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get up today, guys.
You're so funny. You're like, nope, fuck that. I'm not getting up.
Not
nope.
Happening. Take this blanket everywhere I go.
Call it in sick. So let's talk hair loss, because we're kind of at that spot now where you're starting to notice probably some hair loss.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually hair loss happens between 3 and 6 months of your journey. So you are
smack dab. So how's it going?
Yeah. What have you noticed so far?
My first post-op visit, I was warned by Dr. Patterson that you might experience hair loss. I was like, I don't have any of that right now. Like, sure.
Yeah.
But no. About a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, I started noticing it, and now it's just like, I feel like I'm a chemo patient almost. It's like I'm in the shower.
It's just falling out.
Just glob. The shower wigs you make on the walls, you know, to get off your fingers. And,
dang.
And like, it's on my clothes all the time. And my mom was playing with my hair when we did the evacuation for the fires.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing my hair, and I was like, is my hair thin? And she's like, yeah, I noticed it, but it'll come back. I know, it'll grow back. When?
You're like, well, can I just hurry up and do that?
There's
now?
A relation to it, though. It's protein.
Yes.
Yeah. Did Dr. Patterson tell you that?
Yes. Yeah. And she's like, oh, you're getting out your protein? I'm like, I mean, honestly, probably not like I should be. She's like, well, go back to the protein drinks because I kind of got like so sick of those for a while.
Yeah.
So,
the smell of them sometimes is like, oh, I can't do this.
Yes, I was going to ask you guys, I need some like new protein drink recs and
we have some on our IGTV on Instagram. There are videos
of we make proteins,
protein shakes.
Okay.
So we have the mango peach smoothie. It's amazing.
And then my strawberry one that I make. I made that for 2 years straight.
Wow.
And it's very simple because it's just like it's ice, yogurt, Fairlife milk because Fairlife has a lot of protein in it.
Okay,
And there's no lactose in it.
Good.
And then strawberries and yogurt and then one splash of the powder. And just mix it up.
With like an unflavored one?
I do vanilla.
Vanilla. Yeah.
Okay.
And we're actually going to drop it really soon, but we did a pumpkin cheesecake one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's delicious.
Sign me up.
Marcus drank all of our cups.
It was really good.
Yes. It was real good.
Melanie's upset about it, I can tell.
Very upset.
Very upset. I was mad about how good it was. I was like, this should not be this good.
No.
Like, it was like a dessert. It literally just tasted like a milkshake.
And you could freeze it and turn it into ice cream. Like, that's how good it was.
Yeah.
And you could put whipped cream is a good way of, like, adding a sweet something if you are a fan of sweet. Because I like to have sweet at night. So during the summer, I did strawberries and whipped cream because you've got your strawberries. And then whipped cream is very low in sugar. You can also sneak protein into stuff. So cottage cheese, if you like cottage cheese, or yogurt.
A lot of cottage cheese.
You can
string cheese.
But then you kind of like, you get almonds. I'm sure you guys have experienced this, but as you kind of get hooked on one thing for the quick, easy protein, and then you kind of burn off and switch to something else to constantly.
Oh, Kelly, for sure.
I will get stuck on one thing, and then I will go for a long time, and then I'm like, not feeling it anymore.
I never really had cheese before this, and really? Then I'm like, give me all the cheese.
Oh, well, it's such good protein. Yes. Costco has the snack packs of salami and cheese. So good that I use Instacart. I found her Instacart. About
it. Yes. Amazing.
It is amazing. Melanie's like, why don't you Instacart? Because I had a flare. And I was like, I have to go to Costco because I'm all out of my snack packs, which is what I call them. and she's like, why don't you Instacart it? And I'm like, what?
I'm like, yeah, Costco does what Instacart is this? Now.
Yes.
She was like,
it was so easy. Yeah. It was so easy. Like, I was like, all I have to do is pay for it. And then they drop it at my door. Like, this is the most amazing invention ever. And you can do it anywhere. That's the cool thing.
I just want Winco to do it.
Oh, except for Winco.
They'll eventually get there. It's like, that's a self-owned employee store. So it's going to be a little bit. But.
They need to get on the bandwagon. Because if Winco did Instacart, I would never go grocery shopping again.
Yeah, ditto.
They'd have to hire so many more employees.
They were just
slammed.
Well, Instacart is the one that does it. So Instacart has the employees.
Oh, that's right. That's
they
right.
send it into them in the store. They pick whatever you want, and then they deliver.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, restocking the shelves and everything,
oh,
too.
Oh, true.
Like,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, yeah, both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's great.
So what kind of other foods do you really enjoy right now?
Hold on. I was going to go back to the hair loss section.
Oh, sure.
Because we're not done with hair loss. Yeah. So with the hair, have you felt any difference with the texture of your hair? Because I had a huge, like, dry out problem.
How am I feel?
Feel it.
I feel like it's pretty soft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have thick, fine hair.
Mm.
It doesn't look like it, but before I lost a bunch of pounds of hair.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it feels any different. It's just thin now. It's a small pony compared to a thicker pony. And I can see my scalp more and the roots. And so I contacted my stylist and she recommended this this line for hair loss.
Okay.
So I started that regimen. I don't know how long it'll take to see results, but...
What's the name of it? Do you remember?
Oh, I got it through Ulta. I think it starts with an N.
So is this a cream or a pill?
It's a shampoo.
Nioxin?
Yeah, it's like Nioxin or something like that. I looked into it when I was losing a lot of hair, but then I just ended up getting extensions. So I was like, I can just get extensions. And then I just swap those out every year.
Nice.
So definitely recommend extensions if you lose too much. But
so it's a shampoo.
It's a shampoo.
It's a shampoo, conditioner, and then like the serum you rub into your scalp at the end of your
shower. Oh, I've never heard of this.
And it's very pepperminty. I was like, it's a small, it's not chemical ass, but it smells like peppermint oil. So
So peppermint actually opens up your pores. Mm-hmm. So peppermint's really good for your scalp. Also, like, if you get really warm fast, peppermint kind of opens up your pores and makes you cool down.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
I'm obsessed with it. I diffuse all the oils. So.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Melanie just had her first, like, essential oil because we went and did yoga. And she goes around at the end and, like, adjusts you as you're laying. And then she puts essential oils on you, right?
Nice.
Oh, she's really amazing. Cool. Kate Louise Yoga here in Kaiser. She's amazing. But Melanie... She was like, what's this essential oil?
Well, I knew what they were, but I was like, how are you using them in this context? Because the girl that sat behind me at Department of Revenue sold them.
Oh, okay.
I knew what they were. I knew what they smelled like. And she would just rub them on her temples and then her wrist. But I was like, I never saw someone do it in like a yoga setting. I was like, what
but it was like, it relaxed you.
It made it 10 times better.
Yeah.
Because I went in stressed as fuck.
Yeah.
Not at all. So it was good.
Yes. And then we had a talk session in the parking lot for like a half hour after.
Yeah.
Talk
therapy.
It was great.
Exactly.
Because Kate Louise like left and we were still standing in her parking lot talking. It was
we're like, don't mind us. We're just having full on conversations in your parking lot.
It's so hard to find a yoga instructor that is patient, knowledgeable, and affordable.
Look no further than Kate Louise Yoga.
She specializes in yoga for all bodies.
Her primary goal in teaching is to help people heal themselves by tapping into higher consciousness states of love, wisdom, and creativity.
You can also find free gentle yoga classes on her website,
katelouiseyoga.com. Just click the link like you're going to purchase a class to see the link to her Zoom classes. Okay, so we're using the Nioxin, and you've noticed it around. So I lost a lot right in my scalp, like in the front right here.
In the hairline. That's
in
my
the hairline,
right
yeah.
Here.
And I think it's because I play with my hair. So it was like tugging on it a little bit more. Something that my hairdresser said was make sure that you're brushing your hair twice a day because that actually like stimulates hair growth.
I was afraid to.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people think is that it's
bad. But actually, it does help. I started brushing it in the shower, and I got a like shower brush with the conditioner, and that helps a lot. And when you look at the brush, and you're just like,
it you does. Can have a share brush, what? A shower brush. What?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a thing.
Yes. So usually when you condition your hair, you want to brush it because then the conditioner gets every strand.
Well, I condition it like thoroughly. I didn't even wear a hair mask in there, but I didn't know you could have a brush.
No, yeah, you brush it through.
So when you brush it out and then you rinse the conditioner out of your hair, it'll be like the silkiest, softest hair you've ever felt.
Oh, done.
So I have I have the wet brush.
Okay. Yes, I have one.
And it's designed for the shower. It has a little hook. You can hook it onto your caddy or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And it's like purple and sparkly.
Ooh, oh, my favorite color. That's perfect. That's Melanie.
As a father of a five-year-old girl, this is all useful information for me as well.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing.
Right? I know. I'm 33 years old and know you can have a brush in your...
I didn't realize you didn't know you could have a brush in your shower.
Well, the things that you just don't know because we don't talk about them.
Now we're bringing it to attention. Everybody, go get a shower brush.
Even in the shower because mine's a clawfoot tub. And with the shower and then the caddy. But, like, you know how, like, you're always just standing underneath the water the whole time. So I'm putting my shampoo on, put my conditioner on, and then I put the hair mask on.
But I realized, made you buy.
Yeah, and it was amazing. It smells amazing. It's coconut.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize is that if I just took two steps forward.
Hold on.
Because the hair mask says you need to let it sit for a minute. And I was like, how am I going to do that? Like, the water's always on me. Oh, this is insane. And I was like, oh, there's room in here now. Because before, why would I do that? I was taking up the whole tub. And now I can just move 2 feet forward and let it sit while I shave my legs.
It took you 5 years to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's this awesome. Just happened when we bought the hair mask, Kelly. So that was, what, a month
that's
ago?
That's what I'm saying. It took you 5 years to realize you could take two steps forward. Okay, PSA for everybody. Take two steps forward in your shower.
Yeah, I just shave my legs while I do that. And then I just pop up, do my thing. I'm like, oh,
damn it.
So now I got a brush. Oh,
Thank you, Chloe.
We're making her a girl, is essentially what's happening. Because she's never been super girly.
I've never known any of these things.
And obviously, I am very girly. Like, I like all the girly
things. I'm in the middle.
A little bit tomboy, a little bit girly.
Mm-hmm. I'm only a little girly.
Oh, good to know, Marcus. Thank you for sharing.
I guess that's one of my questions, because I was big all my life. So is that something that you had to deal with, too? Or is this just a sporadic thing?
No, I was in high school. I was probably my lowest, probably I was like in my 140s.
Wow.
Okay. So you were then.
Yeah, I was healthy. I'm looking back. You think you're big then compared to like the tiny little cheerleaders and, you know, other small people. But then as I got bigger, I was like, oh my God, I was hot. Like I was banging. Like, why was I so hard?
Can I have that back, please?
Why was I so hard on myself? And,
because we are our worst critic. Yes, we are our own worst critic. Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, and as a kid, you know, I was healthy and then you kind of get that tomboy, chubby, awkward phase.
Yes.
But then
I never left it.
Oh.
Yeah. Melody, oh my God!
And that was
you knew me then. Did I really?
I know, which is I never left it. It's still here.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah, man. No. So I gradually just got bigger.
Okay.
Over the past 10, 15 years, whatever. I don't know what I'm going to call it.
I feel like you're the perfect mixture between me and Melanie.
Seriously,
because that's how I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was always about around 170 was usually my white high school weight. And then I always thought I was so big.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't.
170 is perfect.
Looking back, like, I mean, because my high was 265. So, I mean, I gained 100 pounds in, you know, 10 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was hard looking back and seeing that and being like, I was then. Why didn't I appreciate it then? But it makes me appreciate it now, for sure. I don't know about you, but it's like, oh, okay. I'm going to appreciate it when I get to that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then on one of my blog posts, I was kind of reflecting on things and it was, you know, going from, you know, 160 or 140, whatever it may be, to like 340. It's like, that's like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In not very long time. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Mm-hmm. Like, how did I let that happen to myself? And I kind of reflect on that a little bit.
The good thing is that you did something about it.
Exactly. That's people who have been saying. Yes. Like, you did something about it. Like, you need to focus on that. And I do now for the most part.
Yeah.
But, you know, every once in a while, it's just like, whoa.
Well, and that'll happen.
Pounds. It's like a male.
Oh, yeah. And that'll continue to happen. You know, speaking of that, you know, body dysmorphia, it's a very real thing. And so it will hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole journey, your entire journey. I mean, Melanie's 5 years out and she still has body dysmorphia stuff.
Yeah, it's annoying because like, okay, so I'll tell you straight up what happened yesterday after I saw those photos. Because I like those photos, but I felt like I look so big compared to you. But I know that like, that's just me. But I was like,
right.
I was like, no, it's fine. Because I was like, my leg looks a little chubbier. Like, that's weird. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, it's fine. These people love us. Like, they're going to be supportive of me. They're not going to be like, oh, she has a chubbier leg than Kelly does. Like, this is stupid. But it totally, like, it fucks with you.
The photo of me and Cody, all I could think was my arm looks fat.
Right? Yeah.
So that's all I could think. And I know, I mean, yeah, I have loose skin, but I have a pretty thin arm.
Yeah,
I should be excited about that.
I'll trade your arms. Like, I'm still working on it, but I'm like, look at this flab.
You'll get there.
Oh, do you want to do the arm challenge before we leave with us?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yes. There you go. We're going to pull everybody in. We made our yoga studio or our yoga instructor do it with us. Well, she offered, but she did it with us.
Yeah. But anyways.
But, I mean, it's weird that your brain sees, like, I still see 100 pounds ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, now 120 something.
Yeah.
But when I started, and I'm like, why is my arm so fat? I'm like, it's not fat. Like, get it through your brain that it's not fat. Like, and even if it was, it doesn't make you any less worthy of taking a picture, you know, because I think at 265, I would be like, no, we've got to hide all rolls,
all the things
to make myself worthy to post this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, if there's a roll right here, there's a roll.
Well, because I got up to the 300s, too. Like, mine was 308. So, like, I was scared to get to, like, 350 was my, like, oh, I better do something. Because I cannot. Because my brother was 447. And he got the lap band. And then 6 months later, I got the sleeve done. So that was kind of the deal. Was like, I can't. Like, I come from a family of just big people. And none of us knew how to eat right. So, like, we're literally just the blind leading the blind with food. We have no idea what we're doing. But, yeah, like, now I finally actually have, like, the skills. I think that this is a tool that helps you realize. Realize what you're doing to yourself and then realizing what actually helps your body. Like, now it's more, we're like a car. It's literally, like, fuel for you to move later. It's not for pleasure anymore.
It's not mouth pleasure.
It's not mouth pleasure.
Mouth pleasure.
That's what I call it. It's not mouth pleasure.
Nope. No more mouth pleasure. No, we still have mouth pleasure. I mean, we still have the yummy things. It's just we can't eat as much of it. And we kind of change it a little bit to make it more healthy, you know.
We'll put the protein in it. We'll make sure we get our protein first.
Exactly. You eat your protein first and then you eat everything else. Yeah. Or, like, I don't know if you, because you are only 4 months out.
Yeah,
I didn't eat sides. For, like, the first year. I didn't, I rarely ate vegetables. I was so focused in getting my protein. I don't know, what do your meals usually look like?
I say the past couple weeks have been kind of hit a bump on the road. going back a little bit.
What do you mean by that?
Having a little bit more of, like, the guilty pleasure stuff. I'm not, like, in amounts I used to. But, like, now it's kind of like, okay, I need to get back on the train of just eating, focusing on your protein, and then have, like, you know, your a little bit of veggie if you want, or kind of, I love vegetables, but it was, like, the stress of the fires and everything, and we left town, and just not having your fridge full of all the things
that you normally eat.
That you would normally go to. And then you got back home and adjusted back. I was kind of like, well, I want some chips now. I have a couple of chips. So that was, that's been difficult. So I need to kind of rein it back a little bit and make it right.
What is your average day? So I would say before fires, before stressors happened, what was your average day look like? Was it a protein shake every morning? Were you eating just meat throughout the day? Like, what would it be?
I would try to do a protein shake in the mornings, like in the car, because I have a commute. And if it wasn't that, it would be like a hard boiled egg or two to eat in the car.
Yeah,
kind of quick proteins. Cottage cheese. Steak, chicken, a lot of chicken. Pork, you know, just kind of those easy, quick proteins to
snack and they're on. Perfect for us because we're not eating very much.
Well, yeah, and they're high in protein.
Very high. Chicken's the highest protein. Fish. Do you drink?
Fish is higher.
Really? I thought it was chicken.
Fish is good.
Oh, I like fish.
Yeah, and so I kind of went through phases of things that sound really good. So I kind of went through like a seafood shrimp phase. I love shrimp.
Yeah, I love it too.
And then it was kind of steak. And then it was like chicken thighs or chicken breast or whatever.
Okay.
Are you using any sauces?
Not really. I would... I love Asian-inspired food, so I like Instapot, chicken thighs, and any sauces. But now if I do, it's like a little bit of steak sauce if I want it, but it's mainly just seasonings.
Okay. So. Very cool. See, we don't count sauces.
Yeah.
Like, we eat sauces. I can't eat without sauces.
See, and that's the other thing. Is I'm a sauce addict. Everybody kind of has their thing, and I love sauces too. And I know some people are on the program. I would say that are like, no sauces.
Oh yeah,
but I love sauce. I'm a sauce bitch.
Like, it's good. Yes, I like that. Thank you. Sauce bitch.
But now I'm just so focused on getting my food done in time to like enjoy it, or I just don't really focus on making the sauce anymore just because I want the meat.
Sense. I want the meat.
Yeah. She's a Even before I said it, that's what she said.
Yep. That's why I gave that look.
She loves her meat.
Loves her meat. I do love my meat because Kelly was substituting everything for either a protein bar or a protein shake, and there was no meat in her diet. And I was like, Girl, do I have to make you a pork chop and bring it to you? Like, what are we doing?
No, she always misconstrues this story. So what I said was during the day, I would have either a protein shake or a protein bar or meat or cheese. Mm-hmm.
It was not meat. It was just your wraps things.
Like salami and cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a meat.
But I think of a meat like a...
Like steak or,
like a big old hearty meat.
Yeah, but then at night, I would have actual, like, chicken,
steak. A hearty meat.
Yeah. Mm. And so she misconstrues the story every time. And she tells people that I wasn't eating any meat.
No meat.
No, I was at night. It's just during the day, it's really hard.
Yeah, and agreed. Because I have to pack my lunch with me or, try and get before all this takeout food or whatever. But now I've noticed that, like, deli meats... Mm-hmm. are easy to transport, like ham or turkey or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can just roll them up with cheese. And, mm-hmm.
Or a little...
See? It happens all the time.
Or a little cream cheese. I love cream cheese and deli meat together.
Oh.
So good.
Cranberries.
So I'm not a cranberry person.
You don't like cranberry? Nope. Oh, see, there's a sandwich that I used to get at the sub shop here in town.
Okay.
And it's cream cheese and then a little bit of cranberry sauce and then you do turkey and cheese. Ooh. And it's like Christmas dinner or like Thanksgiving dinner
all in one.
So it's really good. But if you don't like cranberry, then that kind of defeats the...
I should try cranberries again, to be
you
fair.
You should, because your taste buds change. Have you noticed that some things that you didn't like before you like now? Or vice versa?
Vice versa, for sure. I will admit, I probably haven't been as good as you guys, because for me...
You obviously don't know us.
I'm 4 months post-op, and I've had, some not-so-great things, only because I want to test my limits, I guess. I want to see what tastes good, what doesn't taste good.
You're a line pusher.
Yes. I had some, or just trying foods, I guess, of other people's. Like, I've tried, some fried foods, and fried foods taste so bad now.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
It's so good. But I'm like, did it always taste like this? Mm. Or did my journey change?
It changed. Yes. Yeah. It changed. I can't do unmelted Swiss cheese. Yeah. It's very strange.
Oh, I can't. Scrambled eggs. I cannot do scrambled eggs right now. I can't do scrambles. Okay. Nope.
And you want to check again later. Always keep checking because those, I know there were some things. There was something that I couldn't eat in the beginning and now I'm totally fine with it. I can't remember what it is. But.
I don't know.
And there are certain things where I'll like eat it and I'll be like, it's not worth it. It doesn't taste good enough.
Exactly.
To splurge on it.
Yeah.
But I also, I didn't really eat carbs for the first year. I was very, very, now I'm kind of like, I'll have some potatoes, or I had my first roll while I was in Missouri. It was staring at me. It was staring at me in the middle of the table, and it was saying, Ellie, eat me right here. You just want to put some butter on me and eat me. And I was like, I want a fucking roll. And Cody's like, we're on vacation. Have a fucking roll.
Yeah, you can have one.
Mm-hmm. And so I had one roll, and that was where it ended. And I mean, I only ate a little bit of my dinner, but I made that choice. Mm-hmm. So, and you got to think, you are making the choices.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are making the choice to eat some chips, what it'll lead to.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
I mean, because Melanie's told me that several times. Mm-hmm. She's like, don't go back. Mm-hmm. Don't. It's a slippery slope.
It is.
So just be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no judgment because. Lord knows I had some custard ice cream while I was gone, possibly 3 or 4 times in a row. It's fine. But we have it.
And then you move on.
And then you move on. You accept the behavior. Say, yes, I had some chips, or yes, I had some custard ice cream.
Yeah, it's more about acknowledging.
Exactly.
Acknowledging it and...
Exactly.
Knowing pause, step back.
What was that behavior? Why did I use that behavior?
Because you said the fires was a dealing, and I think it's because you guys had to leave, right? You guys had to get evacuated.
We were level 2. It wasn't like a mandatory 3, but we, so there was the main fires, Beachy Creek, Lion's Head, whatever, but then we are close to Silver Falls, and there was a separate fire near Drake's Crossing up there.
Okay.
And it was another concern because we live, south of the falls, so it's falls and then like down below.
Okay.
And so it was just kind of a little concerning, and the air was just so bad. Mm-hmm. Like my car was like thick, 2 inches of just debris.
It would have to be considering I had.
It was like falling from the sky, like almost like volcanic ash.
Yeah, get out of there, girl.
So we left for fresh air. My parents and my husband and I, we stayed with my sister, and then we went to Independence in a hotel for 3-4 nights, whatever it was.
Okay.
Just to get fresh air and all that. So we brought our pets with us. Like, we had our pets in the hotel.
Yeah. I would. Yeah.
And so we saw rabbits. We saw all sorts of fun. This hotel was, like, shout out to Independence Hotel, man. Brand new hotel. Beautiful. Super kind.
They allowed all the pets to care.
Awesome.
That's really nice.
Well, and then you have the stressor of the fires.
Mm-hmm.
You have the stressor of being in a hotel where you don't have your food. You're not in your routine because routine plays a huge part.
Well, and
you've noticed that.
And you got a surgery done in a stressor in itself in COVID time. Like, you didn't get to have all those, like Eric went with me to some of my appointments. Kelly went with me to some of my appointments. Like, you didn't get to have that comfort and support with you at all times. So you're going through a lot.
Yes. So give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
But not enough grace to where you're going to slippery slope, but enough grace to be like, your journey is one big stressor, right? So automatically it's a big stressor. And then you add on top COVID, quarantine. Which so you can't leave your house. You got your quarantine, and then you've got fires going on. So
there's so many things.
Give yourself some grace.
Absolutely. And it was just kind of hard to not be hard on yourself. Guilt. I guess guilt is a big word for me.
What I wanted actually just to know really was what were the foods that you introduced that scared you? And what are you going to do differently now that you're not in these stressors?
Well, before surgery, I had ice cream. I was like, okay, I like it. After surgery, ice cream sounds a lot better now for some reason. I don't even know. It's so weird. Like, why?
Because you can't have it.
Probably.
And it's creamy, so you're like, I can, but I can't.
Yeah, and it's like a soft food, you know, whatever. I don't know, and just I think kind of going back to old shopping habits. It's hard because my husband and I clearly eat very differently. And so it's hard, you know. For the longest time, I didn't bring in things that I couldn't have or didn't want to have around.
Okay.
But then I, you know, started doing it again.
Now, does your husband bring those things in? Or is he pretty good about knowing that it's kind of off limits for the household?
It kind of depends. Like, he often will get, takeout dinner for himself because he goes to bed like at 5 or 6 and I don't get home till like 7.
Okay.
So he's not even in front of you.
Right. Most of the time it's not even in front, but it's kind of like we have a ring doorbell thing. And I see he brings him a pizza. I'm like, oh man, that's rough. I just kind of like scrape the toppings off of it to have the cheese.
Which is fine. You can totally do that.
The cheese and the meat of it or whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, kind of like adapting and just not going back to the old shopping ways, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be key.
So I'd say like sweets, like Halloween candies out, and I love Halloween and I love candy. So that's been hard.
So we are going to have a two-week. You
want me to do it?
Yes, please.
So
take over, Mel.
2 weeks in October, we're going to just try all different sorts of healthy candies. Where they're like higher in protein, low sugars.
Yes.
Because we're trying to figure that out too, because
it's
a bitch.
Candy.
And we like it too. And I like gummies. A lot of different types of gummies is my deal.
Smart Sweets too.
So we did try Smart Sweets, and the sweetest fish is the best.
We might have an extra bag here.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, we might get some Swedish fish on your way out.
We may give you some Smart Sweets to try, and then you'll have to let us know
those on Amazon, and then I don't know if you have tried the Jenny and Jerry's caramels.
If
you love caramel, I'm a caramel freak. They taste just like a regular fatty, sugary caramel, but there's no sugar.
Ooh, we're trying those.
Aftertaste?
No. Like, you could, if you didn't get terrible diarrhea, you could eat the whole bag in a sitting.
Okay, so be careful. But it's delicious.
Jenny and Jerry's?
Yes. caramels on Amazon. They're kind of pricey, but they're so worth it that's because it tastes like the real thing. Fine. And there's different flavors too.
I don't care about the cost. If it tastes good and there's no aftertaste.
Yes.
So
good.
Awesome. So we'll give you a bag of Smart Sweets and you can let us know what you think of it.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then, so how is your husband through everything? Is he really supportive? Is he, what was he, his thoughts when you first told him that you wanted to do surgery?
Or not even just him, just family, friends in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Family is super supportive.
Okay. Awesome. Like,
I'm sure people wish I would have done it years ago, like myself, you know, but nobody says anything. They just, you know, words of encouragement. Yeah. Super great. I have a big, big family and, they follow my blog and are very kind and helpful and which is so great. I love my family.
It makes you, so you were open with everybody about what you were doing.
I waited about 3 months through this 6-month program to kind of make sure
you wanted to do it,
that I would be approved for surgery and I would be able to lose the 15, 20 pounds, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I still was kind of self-conscious about myself and I knew people knew that I was big, like clearly, like, and I knew I was big, but I didn't want to like address it publicly because
it's embarrassing.
You feel. Yeah. And so once I made it public, it was like nothing but support.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah, I love it. I love it when your friends and your family kind of just are there for you and they're like words of encouragement, even like, wow, you look great today. Like that makes your day so much better.
It does.
And we try to do that a lot on Instagram. Like just write little encouraging things like, hey, you look really pretty in this picture. You know, like we want people because it makes you smile.
Right.
Like it.
It's a boost of self-confidence.
It is a boost of self-confidence.
Because I was very quiet about mine. So that's why it's like, it's nice to hear that you're like, because I was really scared to tell anybody really, just like just my close-knit family and like a couple friends. And so it's nice to hear like, you felt that too, but then you did it. And then you realize like, oh wait, everybody's is supportive. Like, why was I so scared type of situation? So
that's great. Good. And then, so family and friends were good. I want to know about husband.
Oh yeah. He's also very supportive.
Good.
Yeah, he was supportive and all that jazz. I think for me, it would be more helpful if he would also kind of help me kind of, you know, stay on track a little bit. Like, like maybe we should do this instead, or you know, like does that make sense?
Not tell you what to do, but kind of be like, hey, what about this as an idea? Or why don't we not bring chips into the house this week? Or you know,
Are you vocal though?
Have you talked to him? Yeah,
not in a while.
Okay,
not in a little bit. And I know I don't like conflict. And not to say that it's conflict by any means,
but it's a hard conversation because what if they say no, and then you're like, but I need this.
And I'm sure
he would be supportive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like he would do anything. He'd give you the shirt off his back. Like, you know, just that kind of person.
He sounds great.
I remember I was still really fresh post-op.
Okay.
And I'm sure you guys kind of experienced like hormonal mood change.
Breakdowns happened.
That was crazy. Yes, that was so emotional. I cried and I'm like, why am I crying? But then it dawned on me, I just had major surgery. We're in still quarantining. I can't eat the foods I fucking want to eat to comfort myself.
Yep.
I just felt I couldn't see my friends. I would felt so lonely. I just cried and I cried.
I felt defeated.
I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do feel defeated because you're going over all these things that are happening or had happened, like you're hyper-focused.
Yes.
But then adding quarantine on top of that, not being able to see your friends, not see family, like all of these things. And you're like, I'm already going through a lot. And then you throw in the fact that I can't see my family and friends and I can't leave my house.
You're probably learning how to cope without food biggest deal. Because I did the same thing. I realized, like, I cried to Eric. I was like, why did I let myself get this big? Mm-hmm. And then now I don't even know how to deal with these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of also why I'm like kind of revisiting the idea of like going back to counseling to help you, because your major coping thing is taken away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the you know,
I'm so a big like therapy because I got a lot out of my therapy. I went every month for 6 months.
Good for you.
Well, it was required.
Her license. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what's it was weird. Required. Ours is not.
Yeah.
Just one visit for me.
I feel like it should be required because I learned a lot about myself and how to cope with different things that came along. Mm-hmm. And we even did a session with my husband. And we talked about those things, exactly what you were talking about, like being able to talk to him and be like, hey, this is what I need from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helped a lot. He actually did the 2-week liquid diet with me before, because after I didn't care because I wasn't hungry.
Uh-huh.
But before I was like, I'm not doing this alone.
Yeah.
So he actually did the breakfast and lunch, or no, breakfast and dinner.
That's not even fair because he didn't have to. And the deal
I did
understand.
Ask him.
Yeah, understand. He didn't have to, and you have a very supportive husband that did it because mm-hmm. there's so many women we hear that no one does it with them.
Yeah, true.
Not at all. They have mm-hmm. no support. So like, that man is awesome that he just did it with you.
Because
they don't have to.
They don't. So here's the backstory: was my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and their two kids were living with us.
Okay, that's a lot.
So they were eating normal food while I was doing this.
Yeah.
So I did ask him. In my brain, I was thinking, I'm not doing this alone.
Right.
What I said to him was, hey, what do you think about doing this? And he was like, I will do breakfast and dinner with you.
Uh-huh.
And then lunch, I will eat out.
Sure.
But out of the house. I wouldn't watch him eat it. And so that was our compromise.
Yeah.
So he did it with me.
That's so awesome. I don't know if I could have, if I did a liquid diet before surgery, man, I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
It was.
Yeah. I would say that's the biggest takeaway is I learned that you have to communicate with your husband because
mm-hmm.
I try to do this on my own. The whole first year, like not telling them anything.
Kind of, yeah.
And that's where
it doesn't work.
And Kelly's very vocal. And so I feel like we relate to the whole, like, I don't want to do, this is not your problem. This is my problem. I did it to myself.
Like, it's upset, you know, might upset me, but like, I chose this, so I shouldn't, like, you know,
expect anybody
put it on
else.
Somebody else or whatever.
Yeah. So I would just say, definitely just talk to him. Just because I would I would work up all these fantasy of situations if I say these different things.
Yeah.
Right. Same. You do them too. Right. Yeah. And then I would say it and then he wouldn't say the things that I thought. And then he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just thought you were going to say so many other things. And he's like, okay, well, process that because I didn't. And we're fine. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay.
That's awesome.
So definitely talk to him.
Yeah, it's a good reminder.
That will be super helpful.
And also kind of put things off or put certain things off too. And that's just kind of how I am. But
and remember that your support is there for support.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And he loves you for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't care. So just have the conversations and then they're done. And then you don't have to obsess about them anymore.
And once you do one and they're fine, then it's actually starts opening the door for you to do more because you realize, oh, they're not going to be rude to me or mean to me about this. Like this is, they're just, they need to know what you need because they can't give you something that they don't know. They don't they don't know, they don't know things.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm guessing the answer is, do you regret having surgery? Do you regret having surgery?
No.
Okay. I was guessing it was no, but we just wanted to make sure.
No.
And then what is your best advice for somebody either going into surgery or wanting surgery? Do you have any advice for them?
No advice? I feel like somebody else had asked me that, and I don't know.
Yeah. You're still very new in your journey.
I would say prepare yourself for big change.
Yeah. And I like it. Yeah, no, prepare yourself for big change.
Just know that, it's your life is going to change, for it's not a year or a few months. It's it's going to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you have people that support you in it.
Mm. I like it. That's all really good advice. I like it.
Yeah, and make sure you do it for you and not somebody else.
There you go.
I like that.
What kind of NSVs have you had so far?
What was that?
NSVs.
Non-scale victories.
Oh.
I didn't know what they were for a long time, so.
Non-scale victories.
Yeah.
Buying clothes off of freaking Amazon.
Yeah.
Being able to fit into it.
That's amazing.
I had to buy new bras and underwear.
Isn't that weird?
I had to buy a new bathing suit for a little trip we went on, but I didn't end up using it, but whatever, I have it.
Yeah. You have it for later. Exactly.
And it makes you feel good. We like non-scale victories because it makes you feel really good in the moment. Because you're like, oh, I couldn't do this before.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one? Like, so far, is it just the bathing suit? Is it just the buying clothes? Is there anything physical you can do that you couldn't do?
It's nice to be able to, like, walk longer.
Okay.
Just feel more comfortable walking. Like, I go to the zoo almost every week when I nanny. You go every week because it's one thing that's open. We can do.
Oh, okay.
And, like, if I weighed 350 pounds, no way I go to the zoo once a week pushing a baby in a stroller.
That's awesome.
Huge. But also buying bras smaller, not bigger every time.
Right?
Mine were creeping up. I just went in and bought all new bras because none of my bras fit me. I was like, my sports bras fit, but my other bras, like, I would lean over and my boobs would fall out of it. I'm like, oh, that's attractive.
Yeah.
So I bought all new bras and all new underwear because I was like, I'm not a large anymore. Like, I don't know what I was, because I put them on and then they'll, like, creep down. and then I'm like trying to adjust them during the day. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Well, and pro tip for sports bras, I'm just going to say it on here.
There you go.
Because I kept hearing, like, just buy Hanes, just buy Hanes. And I was like, I don't know. I've never bought anything that wasn't, like, sport, you know, like, bras. Yeah. And they're all cotton. And fuck yeah. Like, those are only like $12.99 on Amazon. You get three of them. And they're amazing. They hold everything in. And you can wear them all day long.
Do they have underwire? No wire?
No wires. No nothing. Just 100% cotton. I would just do a size smaller than what you would normally get. So that way it's, like, all tightens in.
Okay.
And suctions in. And then you're good to go.
Like, you'll love them.
And they are, like, the cheapest thing ever. And you're like, why haven't I heard about this? I thought I only had to go to Nike or, like, Under Armour or whatever, all those, like, fancy ones. Mm-hmm. No.
Although, I love me some Nike and Under Armour.
Kelly will buy anything with a Nike
slogan. Like, yeah, I've never been able to wear any of that. I've always had to go to, like, the big, big girl store for
Lane
bras.
Lane Bryant.
Just wait
until you can go into Nike.
I know.
And you can, although, so they have been good. They are adding larger sizes, which I'm super excited about because Nike is one of the biggest athletic brands.
Yeah.
And they're actually using plus size models, which are not actually plus size.
No.
But you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, not
skinny mini. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun. Like, I went in because I would always get, like, extra, extra large. And most of the time, they didn't have extra, extra large.
No.
And so I would try to squeeze into an extra large, and then I would end up never wearing it because it was never comfortable. Mm-hmm. So when I went in there and I was like, I went to go get an extra, extra large because they had it. And I was, like, so excited. And then I remembered that I wasn't.
Like, you don't need that one anymore.
I wasn't that size anymore. Well,
and the average woman, right, like, currently is 14, is an average of 14.
Yeah.
Size 14.
14 to 16.
So now all the brands are starting to get on board and realizing, like, okay, we got to stop body shaming people. Like, they're not going to fit into these. Like,
yeah, it's the exclusivity. If you're not under a size 12, you don't get to wear our clothes.
Well, and it's like, hey, you know how much money you're wasting, like, not reaping because you won't actually come to us? It's like, I would have bought your clothes a long time ago.
Oh, for sure. They totally miss out on a big cash cow.
Yeah. It's like hello. Come on, get on board. So they are slowly doing it.
Brands are getting more and more into plus size.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, those that's a really fun one.
Yeah, it was great. And then we went to the Columbia Outlet store like a week ago, I guess it was, and to be able to, like, fit into, like, a Columbia jacket.
Yeah.
It was like, and my husband bought it for me. Like, one of those fleece ones, he bought it for me. I was like, yay.
You're like, I've always wanted
that. That's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this amazing little stuff that's, like, freaking huge.
If you ever get hard on yourself, just think about those things.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Or, like, what I do with if I'm slipping up, if I, like, have a Hershey bar or whatever it is, I'd be like, okay, I don't want to become bigger me because then I can't fit into these things that I'm really excited about. So I actually use it as, like, a tool to get myself, like, back on track because I'm like, no, I really enjoyed that. Like, the towel thing was the biggest one for me.
Towel, yeah.
And you, like I said, we said this earlier, but, like, you met my husband. Like, he's a smaller guy, and I finally was able to fit into his shirts.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. I've never been able to do that before. And that was like, okay, so I can't, like, not fit into your shirts now. Like, that's a big one for me.
Yeah, you're like, as soon as I start feeling like I'm creeping up, like, nope, bring yourself back in.
Yeah, because, like, now I have, like, double wardrobe because I can wear all of his shirts.
Her husband and her son all wear the same size.
We do. We all wear the same size shirt.
Whoa.
It's insane. And so, like, I have all of these kinds of shirts. I can wear punk shirts, band shirts. It's great. And, like, he's like, damn it, that shirt looks better on you than me. I'm like, that's right. That's right. That was mine. So I can't wait for you to get some more of those NSVs, because then you'll just be like, yeah, never going back.
Yeah.
Are you doing any workout, or is it just the walking, or?
Oh, that's also another thing I'm like beating myself up on. So I had, literally before everything shut down, I signed up for a gym membership, but then they all closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made it super hard to cancel. So I'm still paying for this gym I haven't been to in 6-7 months.
Oh, no. That's jerks. Because
I need to do that. Anyways.
No, like some of the ones automatically just stopped charging.
Yeah.
So they did for a while.
Okay.
And then once they opened back up, they started charging.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
No, I mainly just walking, and I know I need to do a little more.
What's stopping you from going to the gym? Because you're paying for it.
Is it COVID?
I mean, partly, but it's also, I just have, like, such long days. Like, I really don't want to go to the gym at, like, 3 in the morning or at 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did buy a couple of, like, little weights to do the resistance stuff.
Good. That's exactly what you need.
Yeah. So just kind of that. And I feel like I'm so clueless. Like, I get so intimidated by, like, the thought of walking into a gym and be like, what do I start? What do I do?
Well, like, here's a tip. Just go up to the front desk and be like, can you have somebody show me how to use this? Like, seriously, because
a trainer.
You'll never know.
Right.
Until, like, don't pay for a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But just have them be like, hey, can you explain? That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Is to explain it to you. Because most people don't have any clue what they're doing unless they go every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, it's intimidating going in. Mm-hmm. But if you're not ready to go in, try something like, Melanie does YouTube workouts on Fitness Blender.
Fitness Blender is amazing.
Yes. Okay. And you can just go on YouTube it, do anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour. Like, just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's, I'm going to dedicate 10 minutes this morning and do 10 minutes of a workout.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel amazing. Like, even just 10 minutes, though, makes a huge difference in your day.
Oh, yeah. I definitely need to start small and work my way up. But, like, I know something else needs to be implemented.
Start tomorrow.
Monday.
No. Nope. Well, I guess tomorrow is Monday. But we don't like to.
We don't like to say Mondays.
Because it could be.
Right. Because Monday never comes.
Because we used to do that. We'd always say, oh, I'll do that Monday. I'll start Monday. And then we never would.
Well, I was always, or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Like, or tomorrow, yeah.
Ours is, like, the next meal. Or the next day is the deal for.
So tomorrow is Monday. Mm-hmm. So start tomorrow.
We're gonna message you.
Yeah. I need to. Yeah. Or if you have any
add her to the list.
Recommendations for, like, you know, at home stuff. Like, yoga. I'm all about. I need all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you a bunch of stuff because I do a lot of, because I have a home gym.
Mm-hmm. I've seen your videos.
So, like, we took a while to get it together, but, like, hey, buy piece by piece until you have all the things, right?
Yep.
And so I do a ton of stuff that you can just do at home. As I was going to say, even 10 minutes of just squats, lunges, deadlifts will go a long way, because if you work your thighs and butt, they're the biggest muscle, and they burn longer for fat. So they actually burn for 3 days. So if you work out those areas, they're always burning, and you don't ever have to, like, worry about, like, not building the strength, because that's what they're afraid of, is us losing our muscle. And this is not, is like, I have huge thighs because of it still.
Yes, so, you do.
I can squat for days.
I'm envious of her thighs and her butt, because I am like, there's nothing there.
That's true.
We do yoga every morning.
Yeah.
Well, I've been kind of on a
lapse, what we'll do is we'll add her to the water challenge.
Yes.
If you're not already. And we'll add you to the arm challenge.
Hey, watch the videos.
We're not asking. We're telling you.
No, so these are things
to hold you accountable, because we needed to, because we slack off just as much as the next
yesterday,
person.
I did not get barely any water. So.
Yeah. So we'll do those two, and then we'll just, we'll message you like, hey, did you work out today?
Sounds good. I like it.
And if you don't message us back, we'll continue to message you.
We know what that means.
Hey, did you do it? So we'll just send it over and over and over again.
Alrighty. Well, is there anything else that you would like to?
Do you have any questions for us?
Questions for us, or anything you'd like to add before we let you go?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you guys can think of any questions you'd like to ask Chloe, or if Chloe thinks of any other questions she wants to ask us, we will update you guys at a later time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
we definitely want to do an update maybe when you're more, like maybe at your 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year would be fun. If you're okay coming back and
definitely.
Let's do a check-in with us in the basement.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Well, so side story, I just have to say this because I think it's funny. So Chloe is one of our listeners and our followers. She also is seeing the same doctor surgeon as Melanie.
Yep.
And so she has never met us face to face.
Nope.
And so as I'm getting ready this morning, I'm like, is it creepy that we are bringing a random person into Melanie's house and then
telling her to go to the basement?
So we recorded the basement. So we're telling her to go into the basement. So yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny that we were luring some random person into Melanie's basement.
We appreciate that you
let us lure you.
Yeah, let us like have you with us, like in our basement and hang out with us.
Honestly, didn't even cross my mind. I think it's because I have seen your videos and know what you look like, and
you know we're not fake.
Yeah, you guys seem really down to earth, and I thought it would mesh well. So
I think we did.
Yeah,
it was
I think it was a success.
Yay! Yes,
I'm happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you join us next time.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP, where you can get exclusive content.
We would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logo,
Eric Vaughn for our music,
Nick Dukes for our graphic and web designs,
and of course, the most amazing producer in the world, Marcus,
with Jude and Per Productions. Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.